Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of Jizz Talking for a Sunday Night. We are so pleased tonight because we have Ray Ray back. And Ray Ray was just here a couple of weeks ago. We talked about the Exotica in New Jersey. And wow, what a adventure that was. You had some hotel problems there, didn't we?
Well, I didn't stay at a hotel, but I did hear the hotel like flooded.
Yeah, and I didn't know if you were in that hotel or not.
Yeah, so I usually rent an Airbnb to shoot just because I think the aesthetic of an Airbnb is better than a hotel room. But I did hear that they had problems.
Because you had your room or your Airbnb set up. It was a theme. What was the theme again?
Alice in Wonderland.
Okay, now how did that all work out for you?
It was great. I only lost one of my shoots. She just accidentally scheduled two shoots at the same time, and she came to the one that I needed the day before, and so I let her go to a different one. And it actually worked out for me because I was like so overworked and tired that I wanted to sleep in anyway. So, yeah.
How many shoots did you do over that weekend?
I did three.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah. Which I set up myself and directed as well as starred in. So,
can you name drop anybody who was with you at all?
Rebel Rider. I did a girl with Kay Lovely. Let's see. Big Will. Sarah Arabic. Mm-hmm. Honey Bunny. And Artemis.
So, wow. Big yeah. Will. How about that? I saw him. Oh, I think I saw him at Chicago a couple of years ago. Anyway, he's a nice guy.
Super nice.
All right. And well, that worked out well for you because I tell you, it was down to the final time with the hotel situation. They were scrambling and you were going to get room somewhere else. And what a mess that was. But anyway, I'm glad it worked out for you. I'm glad you didn't have to put up with that. Glad you had. So are you calling in from a log cabin right now? Are you being all rustic?
I am in a cabin for a few nights. I have friends who like to go horseback riding, so I went horseback riding today, which was awesome. I don't get to do that very often. So, yeah, I am staying the night in this cool rustic log cabin, and it's great.
Maybe Bigfoot will come out.
Not that I know of.
Okay. All right. Hey, James is with us. James, how are you doing tonight?
Doing okay, Patrick.
Good.
Hello, Ray Ray. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. I know that you've been in the business now for how long? It's been probably, 2 years now? Something like that?
Yeah, it'll be 3 years in December. I did my first porn shoot in New Zealand in December.
Okay. This whole time you've been agent free. You've been a free agent.
I have, yep.
Is it difficult to find or to be able to book shoots without that type of representation or just to be able to do it on your own?
It is extremely hard, I think, to break into the business with the mid and high tier companies without an agency. But I do know of stars who do it successfully, Rebel Rider being one of them. She is self-booking and she gets a lot of shoots all the time. So I think as soon as you get connected with the right people, then it can happen. Right now, for me, I focus on producing my own stuff. So I have vision and ideas that I want to accomplish. And so I make those happen myself.
Oh, okay. So I guess it's a lot easier then. It just gets easier as time goes by. You build your name up. And
yes. Then so eventually, hopefully, right. Eventually those companies will come to me. But in the meantime, I get to create what I want to create, and I enjoy it immensely.
So you're just concentrating on doing your own thing now?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, not having to worry about the studios. Okay, that's good. That's good, because I know you're doing pretty well for yourself and developing such a bigger name as you are and going to these conventions. And that's what's drawing the crowds.
Definitely. I think I resonate with a lot of people just because this industry is so difficult to get into that people like myself, Rebel Rider, and other people who do it by themselves, like Taylor Gunner, are showing other stars that it's possible to do it on your own and here's how to do it successfully.
Right. Okay.
And that's so cool because you're not really beholden. Now where does, I'll kind of name drop here, where does Erica from The Rub come in? She handles some PR for you. Where does she play a role at?
So she's my publicist, so she gets me interviews like this. She also puts out any press releases that I need. She puts me up for awards and then any award shows or potential appearances that I need to go to, she puts those in for me as well. So
okay, yeah, she did a nice little write-up for you, and of course she's always done that and with everybody, but you're going to be at, I feel like Johnny Carson, we'll be seeing Ray Ray in Exotica in Washington, D.C., AVN in Las Vegas, and the X3 show in Hollywood, California. So yes. You have some big dates coming up.
I do, and I have some big stars that I will be shooting with. I have gotten into hiring my own higher mid-tier talent, so I have a lot of really cool stuff coming up.
Excellent, and that's just not all Alice in Wonderland. It's other stuff, too.
Yeah, each scene is different, and so I try to theme my Exoticas around something. So, like, this one coming up is around Christmas, and everyone does Christmas. So I thought that was boring. So I'm doing Nightmare Before Christmas. So I'm actually getting fully body painted for two of the days. And then the last day is just a simple outfit. But I'm not shooting as much this Exotica because I never get to enjoy them. So I'll probably be shooting once or twice and then enjoying the rest of the convention. So
it's just nice to see you hanging out at the booth and not have to worry about all that. And I mean, you're one of those gals that you're... When you're at the booth, you're at the booth. You're not dicking around over here and fucking around over there. You're at the booth greeting fans.
Yes.
So great. That's fantastic. Let's switch things to Cartrell. See what Cartrell has to ask you today. Cartrell, go ahead.
Yeah. Like, I know you were in the military. So how is that like?
The military or being in porn after the military?
The second thing. Yeah.
It's not that different. A lot of people don't believe that I actually was in the Army. And so I have to like bring out all the stuff or start talking to them, the lingo. And they're like, oh, you actually know all the lingo. I'm like, yeah, I was in the Army for 6 years. Like I put up with a lot of, you know, all that stuff, but I take a lot of, I'd say what I learned from being in the military and I put it towards the porn industry. So a lot of people in this industry are very type B. They're very relaxed. Things happen when they happen. I am not that kind of person. I am a type A person. So if we're going to shoot at 9 a.m., that means we're shooting at 9 a.m. That doesn't always happen. I take a lot of that discipline that the military gave me and the organization, and I put that towards porn stuff to make sure if we're shooting for 3 hours, we shoot for 3 hours, and then I get the person out of there. So I'd say that's a lot of what I've taken from the military.
I mean, yeah, you know, that's a lot of discipline. Like, I thought about being in the military when I was younger, but then I realized, like, I'm kind of a laid-back guy, and I don't want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm not a morning person. It's not for me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you get up really early. I remember being very sleep-deprived all through basic. I don't think I remember a lot of it. So, yeah.
All right, Cartrell, thank you very much. Yeah, I would use that military lingo. We're going to be up at 0900.
Oh, that's late.
Yeah.
0400?
But I can see, you know, when you like being at the booth promptly and being here promptly, and even for our show tonight, you were on 5 minutes early promptly. I mean, if you can be... It can be 5 minutes late, it can be 10 minutes early is what I've always heard.
Yeah.
So, and that's just, basically that's just good work ethic. And I'm glad that you, derived that from the military or wherever you got it from. So, I mean, that's fantastic. So let's bring things over to Joshua. Joshua, go ahead and question for Ray Ray.
Hey, Ray Ray. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So, first of all, I look forward to meeting you at Exotica DC. I live in the area, so that should be awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah. So my question for you was, I work in the world of horror movies, and I was wondering, like, A, do you like horror? And B, would you ever be interested, like, in starring in a horror movie? Because I know, like, a lot of adult actresses kind of tend to go into that world, like Ginger Lynn and stuff like that. So I'm just interested in, would you be up for it? Because you have a great look for... like a horror movie, you know, as a final girl or whatever.
Thanks. So personally, I don't like being scared. So I wouldn't really, horror wouldn't be my first pick when it comes to movies. But I wouldn't be opposed to starring in one. I think that would be fun, like a fun project. I haven't done a porn that is horror related, except for we did a Scream video where Taylor Gunner like attacks us all and fucks us all in like this big like house, which was pretty fun. But yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to it for sure.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. Well, look forward to DC Exotica. Should be awesome.
Yeah, I look forward to meeting you as well.
Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Were you at DC last year, correct, Ray Ray?
I was not.
Oh, you were not.
I was doing a gangbang that weekend in Montreal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so this will be, see what they do on DC on this odd one out. They tend to want to move that every 2 years. So this will be the second year for DC. I'm really hoping they move that. Kansas City would be my choice, but anyway.
Do you think that would be good?
Well, yeah, they rotate that last one because they were so unsuccessful at Denver. It was terrible. It was worse in Portland. And then now they've got DC. And so, yeah, they only went 1 year in Portland. It's like,
which is crazy. Because Portland's terrible for anything sex related because I've tried to do gangbangs there. And you would think since it's so liberal that it would be such a good place. It's not. It's terrible. So
it was just dead in the weather. Everybody was throwing cards into a hat, and the lineup they had there, my God, the lineup was just star-studded from one end to the other. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I mean, they had Julia Ann and Janine were there, the blondage combo. Of course, yeah. Christy was there. All the big stars were there, and I took Herschel with us, and we just kind of sat around, and he sold 7 pictures, I think. But what happened on that? But no. So anyway, they've always rotated that last one, and I'm curious to see where they're going to put the DC one. I mean, I don't know. Everybody's San Francisco. Charles says San Francisco. Damn it! But they really stayed away from California because they have other stuff there, I think. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yeah, it makes sense.
But
San Francisco would be fun. We do weird shit here.
Yeah. So. But Charles, she's going to be at the X3 event that we're going
to
be at.
I'm looking forward to meeting her. I like the picture that you used for the promotion thing. It looked great. I was like, oh, this looks cool. And it was like you were doing a video shoot. And there's a picture of the photographer and there's your picture. And I was like, oh, that looks so cool. And I was like,
yeah,
because you never see like the behind the scenes stuff. You see the stuff, but you never see the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
But I thought that was like, it looked really neat.
I don't know that she knows what the picture looks like. So let's just put it up on the screen. If you can you see that?
Oh yeah, I really like that.
Okay, yeah, that's the picture we used to promote your show tonight. So
that was taken at New Jersey Exotica last year.
But I thought it was kind of cool because it's like as people who like porn and the adult industry, you don't see kind of the behind the scenes stuff. I mean, you see the stuff, but you don't see the behind the scenes stuff. And it's kind of like interesting to see that.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how is it made, because like when I look at my stuff that I just shot, so I have all these raw files. I also have the audio files, and then I have everything else that needs to be cut together. If you listened to us like redoing lines over and over again, there'll be times where my husband's like, that sounds terrible, redo it. And I'll be like, but that's how people talk. Like, we're having bickering back and forth about lines and stuff, but no one hears that in the final thing. But I think
it's also like that in like real movies where they're doing take one, take two, take three, you know, that's how kind of the industry, whether it's the adult industry or the mainstream industry, that's how it's done.
Yep. But a lot of people don't see that. They just see the polished, finished product.
The finished product, and yeah.
Yeah.
And most people are like, you know, how they talk in real life is how they talk in real life. And they don't realize this is kind of the polished, you know, what they get kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. So,
but as I said, I like the way that Patrick kind of did that picture thing with, you know, the photographer and then you, and it's like, you know, so it's like you get the sense that there's, you know, kind of a different world.
Yeah, for sure.
And most people, I think most fans kind of don't get that. I think it's an interesting kind of look into that world.
It is. That's why I offer on my website, there's like a live streaming capability where you can actually see us making the porn in real time. So you're getting to see the BTS in real time, mm-hmm. which is cool. I don't think a lot of, you know, sites or even stars think about that. And like you said, a lot of fans like to see how things are made. So, yeah.
We had, I think it was last week or the week before, we had, God, who was it? The guy, now I'm like.
Will Ryder?
Will Ryder. And I used to love to watch his movies, but his behind the scenes stuff was absolutely fascinating to me, because you got a really deep sense of kind of the whole creative process,
mm-hmm.
which I found that to be, you know, not better than the movie, but as interesting as the movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Like, you'll hear me, like, we did the Alice in Wonderland shoot with the four women. And the coolest thing with it was the way the porn starts is it's like a fairy tale. So I got us a custom Alice in Wonderland book, and the book opens. And then she has a voiceover that's going to be played over her flipping the pages. And it says, like, once upon a time.
Which I love the Alice in Wonderland thing, and I want to see that. And it's like, because I remember that Sunny Lane had done a similar thing with Alice in Wonderland. And but to me, it's like, it's a fascinating thing to have, you know, the kind of the make-believe thing and the real thing kind of, I guess, overlap. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. And like, why I bring that up is like during, like when we're talking, you're hearing me direct. So you're hearing me like flip the page till this point, read this next, do this next. So I'm not just starring in it. You're hearing me tell them what needs to happen next, like directing it. But you'll never hear that in the final product.
No, but that is fascinating. It is interesting. And it's like, you know, I love the view into kind of the creative process. I have no idea why, but I like to see kind of the creative process of how it gets put together.
Yeah, I love it too. And that's part of why I like doing it.
And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, I'll say I'm weird and, you know, I like to see the creative process. You know, I am looking forward to meeting you at X3 because I think, you know, I know Patrick and I know we'll have fun and it'll be a good time. And I like visiting LA.
So. Yeah, I look forward to meeting you as well.
Is it hard to direct yourself?
Yeah, I get inside my head a lot, and so I feel like it'd be a lot easier if I had someone else doing that. It's so much easier when someone's like, do this, do that, instead of having to be like, oh. So the day of that shoot, I was actually supposed to be five women, and so when I planned the shoot, it was for five women, and I plan out even the positions we're going to do. And so sprung on me, one of the women just didn't show up, which happens, and I had to adapt all the positions.
I'm a big, but you show up when you're supposed to show up. You show up on time. You know, I don't know why that bothers me, but it does. It's like, if you have to be there at a time, you be there at a time, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not an actor, and you know, but it's like, you know, you do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. I mean, Revel Ryder said this once to me, and it was so true. She's like, it's a job. You have to treat it like it's a job. You don't show up late to your job. Like, you don't show up not prepared to your job. Like, it's a job, and think of it as that.
I worked in banking for years, and I was like, I would always get there on time. I would always, you know, be prepared. I would always do my job. And it's like, and it should be like that for every other job.
Yeah.
And that's was always my thought process. And, you know, I also loved what I did, so that made it, you know, interesting and better and whatever, but, you know, not everyone has the same philosophy that, you know, everyone else has.
Yeah. But like I was saying, like, so I had to adapt those positions from five people to four people. So on the fly, I'm having to think about how do four people work this double-sided dildo with this and that. And like, so I'm having to refigure everything in my brain while keeping everyone in line, making sure we're starting on time, staying on timeline. So it can become a lot. And especially when people drop from scenes or things change, that makes it a lot harder to direct successfully. So,
wow. And you would think you'd want an even number for double-headed dildos.
Yeah, well, I wanted to do two sets of double-sided dildos at the same time and then a strap-on fucking in between. So fucking the mouth of the girls who are working the double-sided dildos back and forth.
Well,
I thought that would be cool.
Well, not really seen.
So... but it worked out. We just did double-sided and then strap-on fucking on either side. So
nice. Now, yeah. Where do you do that? You go on location for this, or just is this done at the Exoticas, or where do you do this?
My shooting?
Yeah.
I go all over the place. So I usually plan Miami, LA, Vegas, a few trips a year, and I'll plan those out when I'm going, and then I'll hire talent or connect with other talents in that area. And then I usually plan shooting around Exoticas and conventions, like at AVN, I'll be shooting for a few days after AVN, and then driving to LA and then shooting for, I think, a few days before X3 and then going to X3. So I usually try to plan it around conventions and stuff just because there's a lot of talent in that one area all looking to work and we're all tested. So.
Sure. Excellent. Well, if you ever need any cheerleaders on set, you know, Charles and I will be there.
Sounds good.
I don't think you do a lot of that. Maybe you do. I don't know, but I don't normally.
It depends on like if they have like a partner who comes with them or whatnot, then that's fine. Whatever you need to feel comfortable. But not normally, just because, especially since I shoot in Airbnbs, like on this last Airbnb, like they had a Ring camera.
Oh.
And so what we had to do was meet at a centralized location and they had a garage. So I just put everyone in our car and then drove into the garage and closed the door. So they didn't know who was coming in the place. So that's the issue with Airbnbs, is the security of it all and making sure you get in and out without them knowing what you're doing.
Do you think that they also have, you know, because I've heard that a lot, they have cameras around. Do you think they have a lot of cameras in those?
I mean, if they did, they saw everything and they didn't get mad about it. So
they got paid, so they probably care less, hopefully.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if they did, they saw me decorating their entire room and then they saw like two guys fucking me one day, me fucking a girl and then four women fucking and they didn't get mad. So. Who knows?
I just know that they've had some type of thing where they've gotten mad about that, or they block adult stars from doing that. Of course, if they don't know you book under your real name, they may never know.
Yeah. So
anyway, there's that. But that is a good way to bring them all in the minivan in the garage, the way you'll go. So
yeah, I mean, I have to think about it that way, though. It sucks that you have to do that, but like I'd rather get everyone in safely and discreetly, and that way the shoot isn't compromised. So
right. Excellent. Oh, that's a cool idea. Will you be at Airbnb in LA, or are you going to be at a hotel?
So I'm still figuring that piece out just because I'm hiring talent. So for a few of the scenes, I need a specific room. So I'm still figuring that out, like on the Santa Monica Pier. So we'll see.
Sure.
But for Vegas, AVN, I do have an Airbnb. But it allows up to 10 people. So I just put the max amount, and as many people come. So
good. I really think that they are price gouging Vegas that weekend anyway. That is just terrible what they get for shit out there.
It's hard to even get a booth. Like, yeah. I was looking at the same booth size for like Exotica and it was like $4,200, and I was like, $4,200, I could afford that. I don't want to like, no thank you.
Right. So. I don't know how people are doing it, and I mean, yes, you have your big browsers come in and this and that come in, but these small independents, it's like you're weeding them out on purpose.
Yeah, which is not fair.
Gouging them.
Yeah. Richard Pacheco is a Hall of Famer. He's been to AVN several times. I bet they didn't charge you $4,200.
No, it was a lot smaller time. Well, actually, it wasn't small time then, but I don't remember paying anything. I didn't have a booth. I was there for the award shows, and I was usually nominated when I got invited. So that was all on their tab. But right. I do remember being in an airplane hangar at table 323. Where you needed to, I saw the awards on a television screen because I needed binoculars to see the stage from where I was sitting. But it was a very interesting night. I remember this was toward the end of my career, and I was with a lot of young folks, and they were snorting coke and not being very nice people. And I was sitting next to a young lady who was her first time, and they were sort of picking on her. And it was a little, I got into it, and I got challenged to have fisticuffs. Fisticuffs, mind you. You varlet, you. Off with your head. But it didn't blossom into a full-blown melee. I didn't have a very good time. And then when I had to go to the stage to be a presenter, well, I called a cab because it took a while to get to the stage. I put some dinner rolls in my pocket in case I got hungry on the way.
Yeah.
But I got there and gave my little speech, and I was not real impressed with that situation, how they're doing it there.
And no one heard the speech because nobody gave a shit.
Well, that's always another problem with porn. Unless you have a gun in your hand and you fire it, you generally don't get much quality attention from people who are not used to honoring the simple civilities of the social contract. Oh, listen to me.
active listening is like a skill that a lot of people don't use anymore. So
no, especially in that crowd, everybody's worried about who has the coke and where do we get laid, and themselves, of course. Did they win an award, and they're counting their awards. They're smart, at least in their coverage of it. They have the cameras in tight on the podium, so they don't pick up all this shit going on in the audience and stuff. And they can the TV show of the awards is better than the actual awards.
Yeah.
They will have I can't remember, they had it at one hotel when I was there one time. They had it at the Hard Rock, and that was like a block or two off the strip, and it was I really didn't care for it, but because there was nothing close, you had to always go somewhere. But we stayed at the Hard Rock, and you know, you'd ride the elevator and you didn't know who was a porn star and who was just a cosplay kind of person. I mean, it was kind of a unique situation for us. So, and I really don't have the inspiration to go back.
Yeah.
I don't either.
I'm going to try it. I've never been to AVN, so this will be like the test to see what it's like. I mean, even X3, I think that was their first year last year. It was good, but you know, it wasn't as good as it could have been. There are things they could have changed, for sure. And hopefully they implement some of them this year. So,
well, Ray, who is AVN now? Because in my day, it was Paul Fishbein. He owned the company and he ran the show, and this is a bright guy, and he built the empire, and he got out five, six, I don't know, recent vintage. Mm-hmm. And who owns it now? Who runs AVN?
That I don't know. So I'm pretty, like, in my own little bubble most of the time, so.
Well, it seems like a nice bubble to be in, but.
it's not bad.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Ray is hunting for Bigfoot, as you can see by her rustic cabin.
Yes, I am. Or Big Dick, I guess.
Big Dick. Yeah. Hey, next week we're going to have, next week is Samantha St. James. And she also went by name of Meriden. Maybe we'll clear that up next week and figure out where we all come out on that.
Meriden.
Yeah.
And you were friends with her or sat next to her somewhere or knew her or
In the 90s, I was invited down to a big show by Annie Sprinkles, who was producing the entertainment. And I was kind of like the token heterosexual male, because it was a very gay kind of thing. There was 4 days of events, and I retired because of AIDS in 1984-85, and I didn't want to retire. I had taken 10 years to get close to the top, and fuck if I wanted to quit. You know, I'm now being invited to Hefner's hot tub, and you know, I liked that life, but I didn't want to die. And my wife didn't want to die. And we had little children at home who needed a daddy, and I didn't want to kill him. So I quit, and it was very unceremonious. A lot of people in the industry were resenting me because they didn't want to be thinking about AIDS, and I was bringing it up all the time. I became persona non grata, and people who I thought were mediocrities were being elected to Halls of Fame, and I wasn't being included, and that sucked. I fucking deserved it. I earned it. And
yeah.
So I get invited to this event, and it's 10 years after the fact, or 15 years later, and this was my chance to say goodbye. And I got up at the closing ceremonies to give a speech, and it was a wonderful thing, and I don't want to monopolize your time. I had a great time. I gave a speech. I got a standing ovation. Fucking made me cry. It made me cry. It was beautiful. And when I went on stage, the closing ballroom was in a big ballroom thing, and we were sitting behind a table that was that came up to our chest, so you couldn't see what was going on below your chest. And I had the crazy idea to take off my pants, because when I get nervous, it's like you someday tell you think of the audience as undressed. Well,
yeah.
I thought this would be funny. They won't know I'm undressed. And I was sitting with Nina Hartley on one side and Meridian, which is where the story came from, on the other side. And I didn't tell them. I just quietly slid off my pants. And they looked over and saw me and my underwear. And both of them reached over, and there is a God. There is a God. And it was just like being on set. Well, okay. Nobody knew. And we're listening to the speeches, and I'm getting a hand job. And it came my time to speak. And even when I stood up and walked to the podium, nobody could still see me below here. So all the other porn stars, there were like 100 on stage. This is a big ballroom.
Yeah.
They became aware of me in my underwear. And they started laughing. And, you know, it was funny. And Bill Margold, who was always making himself in charge of everything, he motioned to me to go mount the risers and show the audience what the joke was. And I went, what? I just played it dumb. You know.
Yeah.
And I went up and gave my speech. Well, this goes on and on. Hello. I don't need to take
the
show.
Okay.
We'll do the Howie story some other time.
Well, you now, after you were out of the industry, you directed this one.
I did. I became a director for the first time because Seika wanted me to be her director. And that was wonderful. Although I struggled because I thought I didn't want to ask performers to do something that I wouldn't do. I thought they were risking their lives, and I wasn't prepared to do that, and I wasn't prepared to ask that of anybody. And it gave me moral qualms, but I got to the place where, well, everybody's making their own decisions about this. And I had the conversation with all of my peers, from John Leslie to Paul Thomas to Annette Haven and everybody else. And some people said, what AIDS? Fuck it. You die when you die. And no thanks. I was a little more concerned than that. But we had different opinions. And I ended up realizing nobody's being forced to do anything here. Everybody who's acting in these is there by choice. It's their choice. They'll make it. So I went ahead and made the movie. And I ended up winning Best Director. There was a lot of competition between John Leslie and Paul Thomas and Rob Everett. But I was the first one to get to direct. And I won the fucking Best Director Award that year. And then I never got another job offer. I was just stunned by that. Not a one. And all three of them went on to have big careers as directors.
Yeah. Seika gave me the bookends over there. I don't know if you can see them there.
Well. Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's she played two ladies in the same movie and
right.
Double roles, just different wigs. And anyway,
She was good.
She was
That's
good.
That's really cool. That's a cool premise.
Yeah, there you go, Ray Ray. You can remake that.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to remake someone else's because I feel like that's their idea.
Sure.
But it is a really cool idea.
Well, it's a device that's been used theatrically for centuries.
Yeah.
The idea of twins like the king and the prince and the pauper. That's that story. There's a lot of versions of this story that can be made.
Elvis did a movie called Kissing Cousins where he was two different guys. So.
Yeah. Kissing Cousins.
Kissing Cousins, yeah. Probably not a good movie title these days, but anyway.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff. So.
James, let's swing things back to you. Go ahead.
All right. Ray, I know that you stay busy all the time and you work so much, but what do you like to do during your off time? Whenever you like to relax or whenever you like to.
Well, I do sex stuff for fun. So I do set up recreational gangbangs for myself. That definitely helps me relax. I recently just did one for fun. I did 37 guys.
Woo!
I was trying to get 50. But eventually I'll get 50, hopefully. But when I'm not doing that, I am an artist, so I paint on canvases, I interior decorate, I make homemade cards. So for anyone that's in my life, I send them homemade cards. And I have 5 pets. I have 4 cats and a golden retriever who keep me very busy.
Oh.
I have a husband who also keeps me very busy.
I know your husband. I know your husband helps you out a lot in your career. I know he does a lot for you.
Yes. Yeah. He shoots all my content, helps me organize things, helps me keep me sane when I'm like spiraling out of control because I'm like, this isn't here and this is wrong and this is wrong. And he'll be like, it's okay. And then let's see what else. I like hiking, exploring new areas, traveling. I like to try new wine and new beers. I'm from Colorado, so I like microbrews. Yeah, that's about it.
Okay.
One thing we'll do when you do the wrap-up of the show and the little package I put together is I will put a link to your Etsy store so we can buy some of the stuff.
That'd be great. Yeah, that's a new addition. So.
And then also your website is rayrayxxx.com, correct?
Correct.
All right.
RayRayXXX.com.
Yes. That is my website. I got custom built just for me.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, Aaron made it just in time because it's time for a question from Aaron.
RayRay, you on?
I am.
I just wanted to pop in real quick and see how a dear friend was doing and wanted to just kind of make a cameo appearance and say hello to you since I knew that you were on. I couldn't pass up the opportunity and I wanted to make time for you. So how you doing, sweetheart?
I'm good. I didn't see you at New Jersey. I thought I would. I liked
No. You'll usually see me at Miami.
Okay.
I'm teetering on possibly doing some of the other shows at some other time, but I am looking forward to seeing you. I think it's going to be in July.
Yeah, that's Miami. So, yeah, I look forward to that. It's good to see you.
It's great to see you as well. Also, George wanted me to say hello to you. I don't know if he was able to make it on or not, but he also wanted me to say hi.
Oh, good. Say hi back from me.
I will. I just want to say you look wonderful as always. And like I said, this is a cameo appearance for me, but it was worth it just so that I could see you for a few seconds.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, she's in a hunting lodge. She's hunting for Bigfoot.
It's a rustic cabin.
What are you really, what are you really hunting for?
I'm not. I went horseback riding. That was the plan, so.
I was about to say, are you in a very uneasy episode of Browsers?
I mean, it would be a cool place. I mean, they have bunk beds above. There's like these bunk beds you can crawl up to. It'd be a pretty cool place to shoot a porn, to be honest.
Well, you're awesome as always, and I'm glad you were able to make it on one of the Zoom shows, and I'm glad I got to see you. I really am.
Yeah, same. Made my night.
Made mine, too. I love you, sweetheart, and I'll see you in July.
Thanks, Aaron. Joshua, another question for Ray Ray.
Yeah, I was wondering, Ray Ray, what would be, I know you said you had done a 37-person gangbang.
Mm-hmm.
That was not on film, or it was on film?
It was not on film, so all of those are for fun, so I don't have to think about positionings, I don't have to think about lighting, I don't have to think about the camera. I just get to have sex for 4 or 5 hours, and it's great. Yeah.
You're wonderful.
Thanks.
Yeah, so I was just wondering if there would be some kind of like extreme kink that you would like to shoot in the future, like a huge gangbang, or is there anything you haven't done that...
I would love to shoot for like premium bukkake and get like 100 loads to the face. That would be great. Oh, yeah. That would be my like dream come true. Oh. So.
Right on. All right, cool. Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's awesome.
Where do you, like, how do you advertise that? Or is this just people you call out of a little black book, or, you know, hey, what are you doing? Do you go to pizza or you want to come over for a game?
For that caliber of event, so like I've been trying to do 50 guys for a few years now. I want to eventually do 100 guys. If I could get 100 guys, I'd stop. I'd get like a title belt and I would just be, I'd be good. You have to get connected with actual established organizers that do those sorts of things for people. And then they already have a group of established regulars. And then I tell them what my criteria is, what I'm looking for. We pick a date and then I show up. And normally there are other women at the event as well, just because it draws more guys. But I've yet to hit 50. I'm hoping to do that within the next year. So,
well, let's back up the truck a little bit. What criteria, what checklist do you have on this?
So I... like younger guys, so I usually have an age cutoff of 50. It depends. Sometimes I go a little higher just to get bigger numbers. But I don't really want to have sex with anyone who's my dad's age. I had a very great dad, but I don't have any daddy issues. So there's that. And then in shape, I like someone to be in decent shape. Hygiene is a big thing. So make sure you show up showered, trimmed, deodorant, all of that. I normally like there to be current testing within 3 months of the event, just so that everything is safe. It's condoms, not negotiable for all those events, but I still like people to be tested within 3 months. So.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's just one of those things you just don't know unless you ask. So that's
for sure.
So, Cartrell, another question for Ray Ray.
Yeah, would you ever do a movie in an extreme environment like Alaska or the desert?
I sure would. That sounds awesome.
I mean it's cold.
I mean, or hot. It would be cold. I mean, I've done some photo shoots outside when it's like freezing or there's snow outside, so it's possible to do that stuff. The issue with that is it would need to be probably girl-girl content for it to be successful, because as soon as guys get cold, their boners go way down. Like, they cannot get boned. I've tried. I once did a shoot. It was outside. It was raining. We went under this, like, underpass area, so it was a little warmer, but still they had issues because it was so cold. So
I mean, yeah, that sounds kind of like, I know a couple of years ago they were trying to shoot a porn in space. The problem with that is, you know, like, having sex in space is different from doing it on Earth. Like, the erection, it wouldn't work well in space. Like, 0G is kind of weird.
I'm sure. I've never thought about that, but.
Who tried to do that?
I don't know. I think it was either Pornhub was trying to get that together. I don't know if it fell through or something, but they were trying to, like, doing space. Like some type of space porn.
What if they come and then it just like, I don't know. It
goes everywhere.
And then the person's like swimming, trying to get it. Like,
yeah, I think that's science fiction. I don't think that happened. It cost a few dollars to get to outer space, and poor people don't have that kind of money.
That's how they tried to. They never, like, it fell through. It never happened, but they tried to do it.
Okay.
You like looking like a goldfish chasing that load of cum.
Yeah. I guess you could, like, simulate it in one of their, like, simulators, though, couldn't you?
Yeah, yeah, probably.
Yeah, but I don't think NASA
would allow gravity it, tank or something.
That might cut into the funding for NASA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be funny. All right. And let's go back to Charles. Charles, another question for Ray Ray.
Yeah, actually, I didn't really have a question, but I was thinking, hey, Richard, if you want to get back into directing, maybe you and Ray Ray could work together on doing directing. I don't know.
Well, I'm game. I'm game, you know, to explore whatever comes along in life.
I figured with all the reboots these days done, that might be an interesting possibility. I don't know. I'm not trying to put either one of you on the spot. Please understand that.
Yeah.
But given Richard's experience in the adult industry and his experience being a director, that might be an interesting, idea.
Or I could introduce you to my son, who's more your age. He directed and produced three movies for Erica.
Hold on.
Erica Lust. Do you know that name, Erica Lust?
I do.
Yeah, he worked for her and did some stuff. Okay. He also did a one-man show called Debbie Did My Dad.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which is pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to it. I'm all about, creating and getting together with people who have like minds and, thinking of something that's new and different. That's me. I'm trying to think about what hasn't been done or what can we do that's a little bit different. So,
well, Patrick, would you see that we have each other's information?
You betcha. And I will also do a plug on Richard's book called Hindsight. And just now, recently, very recently, within the last 2 weeks, the audio version of his book is now out. And so you can listen to
nice.
It.
Nice.
Yeah. So I got a custom copy of my own little photo of me and Richard in the front of it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, it only took me 30 years to write.
Yeah. I'm writing a book right now myself.
God bless you, girl. Go get it.
Yeah, I'm getting it.
Is it an autobiography or what is the book about?
It's going to be about how do you build a porn brand from the independent side. So kind of a how-to, but also like stories of how I did things along the way.
Have you ever thought of doing that at Exotica, like a class?
I have thought about doing a seminar, potentially. Maybe once I get the book out there, I can start doing that. I'm also going to have excerpts from other women like Rebel Rider, Taylor Gunner, and a few others in the book showing that they're telling their stories as well on how to do things. So
yeah, that would be an excellent panel, I think, with you and maybe a couple of the Tadpole girls and whoever else you pick. I think that'd be an excellent panel because there are people who just don't know. I know that Kimmy Kaboom a couple years ago, she did a lot on branding, a lot on social media, a lot on website SEO stuff. I mean, and so that was always good to talk about that. Again, next week is our guest Samantha St. James, and we're looking forward to having her. She hasn't been around. She's going to kind of just make a return appearance. We've got several gals like that I've been digging through. Nikki Dial hasn't really given an interview in 25 years, and she's coming back in December to do something with us. I'm working on Shanna McCulloch. I'm working on her very hard, and she says, someday, yes, I will, someday. And so she keeps saying, so.
Yeah.
Actually, she's a very good friend, so tell her I said, come on the show, I'll help her through it.
Yeah, and I feel like kind of like Bernie Sanders. I'm asking you again. Once again, I'm asking you if you would eventually be on my show. Yeah.
Just be persistent.
Yeah, well, that's and there's a and on the other side, I've been a couple times. I've been too persistent, and they said, fuck off. I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a line you can push up to, and then you got to.
Yeah.
So.
There is.
Well, a lot of people, once they moved on, they have situations between family and between jobs where that kind of information that they had that past is going to hurt their situation. So they're protecting their income and their current life. And that I understand. Right. I respect those boundaries. Yeah. Kirby, how old are you?
I am 29.
Because you could pass for 18 right now, too.
I've always looked very young. Yeah. I've had people be like, you're 18, 19. But it works in my favor because I could also potentially play any role that I need to. So.
Yeah. I was similar. I looked 10 years younger than I was back when I was young. Now I'm a grandpa.
You look good.
Well, it's the lighting.
Let's see if I can dig up here's a good one. This is one of my favorite poses from Richard. Maybe tell us a little story about behind this.
Oh, I love that.
Irresistible was the movie by Summer and Eddie Brown. There was a time machine involved, and I went back to the time of Cleopatra and had sex with Cleopatra.
That's amazing.
Yes, it was. And she was very happy. Raven Woods was her name, the actress. And she was very happy that day because she didn't have to suck cock. I was so eager for her. I was up and ready to go. And it was like a day off. She said, I enjoyed working with you.
I would be sad. That's like my favorite thing to do. So. Here's
kind of a funny one of Richard. It shows his better side.
I like that. That's funny.
Yeah, that's my "you're fucking nuts" poster.
I like that.
And that was me.
It looks good.
The ending of that story of the Cleopatra thing is we were shooting on this settee, and I was underneath, and she was riding me. And the settee was what they call elephant hair. And when we were done working, I had I scraped all the skin off my ass, both cheeks. It was not a good thing to fuck on, turns out. So I carried a memory of that for about 2 weeks.
I'm sure. I've gotten some like burns from like fucking on couches. We are doing a gangbang scene and I'm on top of a guy but also sucking dick while he's above me. And I'm like riding. And I can feel the couch rubbing on my knee.
Hallelujah.
But I have to keep going because we have to hold it for 4 minutes. And so I just got this terrible burn on my knee.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I get it.
the things we do for love.
Yes.
Well, before we wrap it up, Ray, we want to know what's down the road for you. Let's say maybe 1 or 2 or even 5 years down the road. And I know it's hard to predict, but what are some of your goals and where do you hope to be?
So I'd say my main goals right now is I want to keep working towards building my brand, making it bigger, being able to hire more and more talent and keep producing the porn that I want to make. I'd say a lot of my goals, I'd like to win an award at some point. That would be really nice in recognition of all the work that I do on a daily basis. If that never happens, that's okay. But that is one of my goals. And then the book for sure is very exciting. I'm looking forward to bringing that to life because I think that a lot of people think you have to have an agency. You have to have big production companies behind you to be successful. And that's not really the case anymore. You have the ability as an independent to produce what you want to produce and put it out there. Just a lot of people don't know how to do that. And so I am looking forward to telling my story, but also giving a guide to people who don't know how to do that. Those are the big things for now. So.
All right. And we're going to see you at Exotica in D.C., AVN in Vegas, and X3 in Hollywood coming up.
Yes.
So sounds like some big plans there and can't wait to see you at the X3. I know Charles and I will be there. And, we'll bring the whole posse. Buddy Peter's going to be there. We're staying in the second shittiest Super 8 in Hollywood. And so anyway.
Sounds good. Gangbang Girl will probably make an appearance. I have a custom cartoon called Gangbang Girl. She's my alter ego. She will make an appearance there. So
At X3?
Yes, I'll be wearing her costume. So.
Oh, fantastic. That's you know, everybody likes a superhero.
Yeah, especially a superhero who comes and fucks everybody.
Amen.
Okay, well, again, we've been talking tonight with Ray Ray. We really appreciate her stopping by on her cabinet skirt on there. We really appreciate that. Check her out at rayrayxxx.com. We'll have more details about her Etsy store in the wrap-up. And also next week, Samantha St. James will be visiting us, and I can't wait for Samantha to tell us what she's been up to, where she's been, and what she's doing now. So anyway, don't forget, check us out at jizztalking.com or follow us on Twitter at jizztalking, and we'll see everybody next Sunday night.